You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Saturday evening, July the 18th. I'm your host, James Edwards, Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, all with me live tonight in the studio as we broadcast to you, well, live, as it were. And that is exactly how it sounded on Sunday afternoon in Memphis when we were all together. There is nothing like a live group singing of Dixie with 500 of your closest friends. And folks, it was just a moving experience, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to remind you a couple of things before we take a call from North Carolina. Number one, if you do not own a Confederate flag, buy a flag, and not just buy it, fly it. Buy it and fly it, Keith. Yeah, that's right. Buy it and fly it. DixieRepublic.com and PatrioticFlags.com are two of the suppliers that we recommend, but anywhere you can get one, get your hands on one. And we would encourage you to do that right away. No household should be without, that's for sure. And also, before we go to Charles in North Carolina, you know, this show is – this isn't a one-trick pony. We cover a lot of issues here, basically every issue of substance as it concerns our people we will cover here on the Political Cesspool. But the battle is raging right now around this flag, and we ride to the sound of the guns. Right now, there's no place hotter than – the fire surrounding our flag, and that is why we have dedicated so much time and effort and broadcast available hours to this issue over the course of the last 3 weeks. And we'll eventually get back on to the other stuff, certainly. Hey, if you want to know my opinion on immigration, just listen to Donald Trump. I mean, he's covering it pretty good. I'm not going to say he's the real deal. I still have a great deal of suspicion, but he's saying the right things. You know, there's other people out there covering a lot of matters of importance to our people, but very few covering this one. And this is where we need to be right now. And, you know, next week we'll start working in more of our standard fare. Right now it feels like Confederate History Month all over again. And in the best possible way.
Even better.
Charles in North Carolina. Charles, take it away, my friend.
Hey, how you doing, James?
Better now that you're on the line. How are you?
Good. I'm doing all right. Hey, I just want to let you know, I just got back from my grandma's 98th birthday party up in northern Indiana, and there were people, I saw at least five trucks up there, whether they had it on their ball hitch or in the bed of the truck or wherever, flying the Confederate flag up there, so... It's not just the South that's coming out to support this. It's, you know, people all over the place. It's really good.
No, I agree. And we've been getting pictures. I got a picture not long ago from a listener in Canada who has it on a flagpole in his yard in Alberta. So, you know, listen, it is everywhere. And I'll tell you the truth, Charles. I have seen more even here in the South over the course of the last 2 weeks than I have ever seen at any point in my life. Now, it's not unusual to go out on any given day and see one on a license plate or in some shape, form, or fashion on the side of the road or on a T-shirt, what have you. I have seen more people wearing it, flying it, living it in the last 2 weeks than ever before. But as I've said in previous broadcasts, we've got to make sure this isn't a momentary recoil and a backlash. This has got to be something sustainable. And it's got to be more than just rallies. Rallies are important. When you have 500 people together, that is rare in this day and age. And I think the rally we had in Memphis was probably one of the top five that have been held in the wake of what happened in Charleston. So I'm very proud of that, to have contributed to that. But it's got to be, you know, eventually we've got to put this pressure on the elected officials and take it from there. But it starts with rallies and public support. And we know we're not going to change the minds of the media. They've written their fictitious and vicious narrative. And what we do isn't going to change that. But it can embolden our people. And I know that the hearts and minds and spirits of our people were lifted exponentially in Memphis to be around that many other of their fellow travelers.
Yeah, you know, and I think it might have been you that brought it up, but I went out to Google and searched for, you know, KKK rallies, and you know, it's probably 5+1. They were carrying the American flag. I didn't see much of the Confederate flag up there. You know,
well, that's a common misconception. I mean, it's not to say that there's never been a Klansman that held the Confederate flag, but by and large. Yes, I mean, they always flew the American flag, but of course, that doesn't fit the narrative either, so you don't expect to get that treatment. And I know some of the groups now may do it. You know, I'm not sure because I don't run in those circles, but no, I mean, that's a good point, Charles.
Well, I've never equated the Confederate flag with racism. You know, it was I think it was a stand for independence, and as a lot of people versus, you know, what we've been taught in public schools about the reason for the Civil War was about slavery. You know, that was a sidebar issue, and it kind of came in relatively late in the war. It was really about the domineering North trying to take advantage of the South and tax them and all the things that they, you know, less than 75 years earlier had fought a war to get away from England, you know, and the same type of tactics.
Yeah.
You know.
You're exactly right, Charles, and we covered, like I said, and I would again encourage everybody to listen to the last two or three broadcasts of this show in the archive, and we went into that in great detail, the cause and effect of the war. If somebody wants to say hello to you, Charles, before we go to a commercial break.
Well, hello there, my man, Charles. It's been far too long since I've heard from you. This is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, son. How you been doing?
Good. How you been doing, brother?
I'm doing great, still running, ran 10 miles a day in the boiling heat in Memphis. I think the heat index was probably 110, 115 degrees, but the old Pappy made it through. It's so wonderful to hear you. You raised a salient point, Charles. You know, you talked about the people in up the northern Indiana flying the Confederate flag. What we see here, what the people are seeing, is just exactly what Stonewall Jackson talked about, what Thomas Jefferson talked about. The Confederate flag in the Civil War, so-called Civil War, represented the original Constitution, the original American flag from 1776 and on. And now we're seeing exactly what General Jackson, I'm not preaching to you, I'm just going back to the movie when Stonewall was talking. What we're seeing now is what Eisenhower termed the rise of the military-industrial complex. We're seeing now, we've seen the taking over of the military-industrial banking complex. We've lost all of our representation to that group. And now we're seeing pornography everywhere, sex changes. We'll come back to this after the music. Hear the music. We'll come back. Let's comment on this when we come back to the music.
And then we're going to toss it back to Keith as well. Charles, thank you for the call. Have a great rest of the night, my friend. And I still have to work into you, ladies and gentlemen, a call I received from a certain government agency last week. I've got to tell you that story. We're not brushing that under the rug. We're going to tell you about it next.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Welcome back, everybody. July 18th, James Edwards, Eddie Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander. Listen, we're celebrating a successful rally last week. It's going to take a hell of a lot more than that, okay? It's going to take a lot more than that. But we are owed and due a moment of reflection and excitement over this, because it was just a phenomenally great event. I should also add that I had an interview with the American Free Press newspaper that was published this week, and you can read that at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'll tell you the truth, folks. If there's anybody out there who has done more for our people and more for our cause than this radio program, I'd sure like to know who they are. And, of course, everything that we do is done based upon the fact that we get to stand on the shoulders of the men and women who support us. And I owe a lot of you a couple of goodies, like refrigerator magnets and ink pens with the Political Cesspool logo, a book from Kevin MacDonald. That's all forthcoming to you, ladies and gentlemen. We're working on it this week. We've been spread so thin. I could have made a part-time job out of fielding media requests since the incident in Charleston, and certainly since our participation in this event last week in Memphis. But we've been spread thin, but we haven't forgotten about the incentives that we promised a lot of people last month. Those are going to be mailed out in just a couple of days, so stay tuned, and we appreciate your patience. You know, we got a skeleton crew here. None of us draw a salary. None of us make any money off this. It takes every little bit we raise to keep the show on the air. And so God bless you for that, and we're doing a lot with a little, more than, frankly, anybody this year that I can think of. Eddie, do you very quickly, and I want to
like
tell people
revisit,
about what happened last
Charles's
week.
Charles' point from North Carolina. And when he remarked that thieves in northern Indiana, which is certainly north of the Mason-Dixon line, people flying Confederate flags there. And the reason they're doing that is because what we're seeing is what Stonewall Jackson and Thomas Jefferson talked about, that if we let the bankers take over our country, we'll see exactly what we're seeing now. The South lost the war. The American, the federal government won. Now, what we see here now is a gigantic federal government all powering, crushing any dissent. You know, no one has any say-so about anything. We're seeing, just like Jackson said in Jefferson, we're seeing an almighty Federal Reserve, a central bank owned by a handful of Zionist people, totally dominating the interest rates to issuing the money. We're seeing our people, our children here in the South, educated with school books written by people that hate the South from the North. You know, in the North, we're seeing. Look at them. You can't turn a radio on or a TV or a newspaper without seeing this filth. This filth with Caitlyn Jenner coming out. It's just funny. You know, the love of homosexuals, the hatred of Christians, the love of sex changes. See that? See, Jackson saw all of this. He foresaw all of it.
I don't know if he Thomas foresaw that, but that
he
part.
Did. Well, he was talking
he
about
foresaw
it.
Bruce
he's,
Jenner.
He's foresaw the evil, the pure
yes,
evil
that he did.
And when you have evil. Sky's the limit. Yes, he did sin, because all you have to do is go back into this history of the Canaanites in the Old Testament. They did all this. They passed their children through the fire, but that meant they burnt their children alive. They had sex with animals on and on and on. That's what we see now, people, under your precious American flag. Had the South won the war, it would not have been that way at all. That's the point I'd like to make. That's why the people in Indiana are rebelling against this almighty evil central government.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it is
state of mind.
We're all Confederates. This is not a Southern thing we're talking about. This attack on our flag, this attack on our heritage, is an attack on white identity, to be sure, and it's an attack on the spirit of resistance to tyranny. And you know, the Confederates were the only people who ever had the guts to challenge the Washington Leviathan ever in this country, to this day, and that is why we remember them so. But I do want to add this. I was contacted last week, in addition to a lot of media entities, I was contacted late last week by a detective with the Memphis Police Department's branch of the Office of Homeland Security. He called on me. Now, he was courteous, as I wrote in my article about this, but he conveyed to me that there had suddenly arisen a problem concerning the permit secured to hold the event. And apparently, DHS had been monitoring the political cesspool's social media presence, which is interesting considering we don't have Twitter or Facebook or anything like that. We just have a website. But apparently, they guessed that we might turn out a larger crowd than was originally expected. And basically, I was persuaded, I won't go into any further detail than that, but persuaded not to further promote the event either on our website or on our radio program. So we're talking about this event, this triumphant event that we held last Sunday. You're probably asking yourself, well, why didn't you talk about it last Saturday? Well, because I wanted to ensure that it would be carried out. And we were between a rock and a hard place. And so defying the will of an agency that could certainly shut it down didn't seem like an appropriate course of action. We wanted to safeguard the integrity
of the
event.
Federal Leviathan strikes again, James.
Well, the thing about it is, and I want to be clear here, this guy that I talked to, I don't have a problem with. I believe he was ordered to contact me. In fact, he asked if I would send him an email pledging no further promotion of this event that he could send to his superior. I had a long 20-30 minute maybe 20-minute talk with this guy. I'm trying to be as accurate as I can because this is a sensitive talk. I mean, we maybe talked 20 minutes. And he was a nice guy. I don't have a problem with him. I have a lot of respect for law enforcement. My father was a police officer before transferring to the fire department where he retired as a captain. But here's the thing. And it is true that over 200 people shared the article that we posted last Wednesday on our website to their Facebook pages. And it is true that 500 people turned out to the event where the organizers were only expecting 150. So the political cesspool certainly played a role in that. But the fact of the matter remains is that the political cesspool was not the organizing entity of this event. We supported it. We put our weight behind it. We turned out a larger crowd than would have assembled otherwise. But our name wasn't on the permit. And in no official capacity did we organize the events of that day. So how did the DHS know we were a part of this unless they had been assigned to monitor us? And this gets to the point. So here we are. Four of the six regular people on the cesspool staff are honorable veterans of the United States Armed Forces. We're all law-abiding. We're all family men. We're all Christians. None of us have ever committed a crime other than my accessory of speeding tickets. We're good guys. We're taxpayers. We work.
Family men.
We're family men. You know, so if they're monitoring us, which they have to be, which we know they are, based upon this interaction, considering our name wasn't on the permit and in no way associated officially with this event, that they're monitoring us is a gross a gross misallocation of federal resources that agents who are drawing a salary, a taxpayer-funded salary, are monitoring people like us. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. If you ever lose track of me, just you'll find me at church at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning with my two children and my wife.
Well, let me say this,
so
James.
This is what's going on. So they're monitoring law-abiding, patriotic citizens like us, but somehow this guy in Chattanooga slipped through the cracks, Keith.
Well, let's just think about this. Why is the federal government interested in suppressing a pro-forest rally, which has over 500 people show up? But meanwhile, I'm sure that all the local news, TV news stations and the Commercial Appeal, and which is the daily newspaper in Memphis, did not receive a similar call asking them not to advertise the anti-forest rally that was held at 5:30 on Friday afternoon last, not this past Friday, but Friday week. In fact, that was, despite being advertised before by every news station, every newscast in Memphis, and the daily newspaper drew a pittance, less than 20 people, but I'm sure that the federal government had nothing, never called them and told them they needed to keep a lid on that.
Despite intense promotion, and we're coming on break, and we'll bring Eddie back in on this with more from you, Keith, also following this. With intense promotion, 20 people turned out for the anti-forest rally, and while our efforts were being suppressed, and I couldn't carry out my full promotional campaign to promote this event, 500 showed up. It could have been 750 or even 1,000. We'll talk more about that right after this.
And it was orderly and well-behaved.
Absolutely, of course.
Wonderful crowd. Model.
All American people were there.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Oh, yeah, oh, wanna be by my side. Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
And so I get called upon by the Department of Homeland Security. The agent was nice. I have no problem with him as an individual, and we had a cordial conversation, but he led me to believe that there was a problem with our permit, not our permit necessarily, but the permit that the sponsoring organization had. Of course, again, we were playing a supporting role, and we supported it quite well, turning out 500 people to an event that the organizers expected there to be 150 at. And I'm not saying we're the biggest radio program in the country. Obviously, we're not, but we do have a nice audience, and we do have a very loyal audience, an audience that turns out when the call is issued, the clarion call is issued. And they come from all over. We had one person driving more than 10 hours to be there just because we posted it to our website once. We didn't even get to talk about it on the radio show. We did send it out to the email list, and a couple of other of our partner organizations put it up on their websites, but that was it. And I would have liked to have promoted it much more. So, you know, that certainly suppressed the attendance. And as Eddie mentioned earlier in the program tonight, I had no idea what to expect. When we got out of church on Sunday, I went over to my parents' house. My father went with me, my family. Eddie rode with us. We met Keith there. So the entire cesspool, you know, staff was there. And when we were driving up, I felt very anxious. I didn't know if law enforcement was going to have the entire park cordoned off and be turning people away. I didn't know. I did fear that living in Memphis with so much lawlessness and crime, that there would be a drive-by shooting or people shooting into the crowd from the street. I didn't know if there would be just a few people there and nothing else, but it was a huge turnout. There were more than 200 people there before the thing even started, and then, of course, even 500 were there by 2 o'clock. And there were law enforcement there, but they were very courteous and gracious and were there for our security and, no problems at all. And so, we never heard back from DHS, even though there was a much larger than anticipated crowd there. So you have to at least consider that call was put in to suppress the attendance. And suppress the attendance of what? Law-abiding, patriotic Americans coming out to defend the integrity of their ancestors? I'm going to toss this to Eddie. But when we got there and it turned out so well, I mean, certainly that buoyed our spirits. And all of this has encouraged and motivated me to double down on this. I always knew my great-great-grandfather, my great-great-great-grandfather, it's three greats, served in the Confederate cavalry. But I in the wake of all of this anti-Southern hysteria, dug into the census records and did a little research into my genealogy and got all the facts and figures. He served in Captain Philip D. Roddy's company, 4th Mississippi Cavalry Battalion, and fought at the Battle of Shiloh. I hope that I made him happy. This is my great-great-great-grandfather. I hope I made him happy on Sunday, and I'd much rather make my family proud than anybody. I have a lot of respect for law enforcement, but I have more respect and devotion and allegiance to my family. And especially when we're not committing any crimes or doing anything wrong or immoral, I have more respect for my ancestry. I hope I made him proud and the media and the rest. It doesn't bother me at all, Eddie.
Well, maybe next time, James. Well, you know what, James? I'll make you proud because at least surrendered my son. I hadn't surrendered. I'm still fighting the Confederate war between the states. Listen, we were talking between the breaks. Department of Homeland Security was never, ever intended to fight the so-called terrorists overseas because we know who the terrorists are. It's the government. They created all the terrorism. The Homeland Security was created specifically with their greatest fear are homecoming veterans. That's why I told my grandson he will never, ever join the Army or the Marines because I'll break both his legs if he tries. He will not go in there. They have the American veterans. If you join the military and you come back from overseas, you are all, I'm telling you, this is declassified. You're automatically put on a terrorist watch list. And just like me and Keith talked about in the break, the government we have, they hate white people. They hate Christians. They do look at us with the enemy. We are the enemy. We're the terrorists because we object to this Caitlyn Jenner crap. We object to the takeover of this perversion sex in our classrooms, you know, infiltrating some of our churches, coming through the media. You can't, you know, that's who they hate. But if you join anybody that joins the military, you got to be an idiot because your government hates you. You're looked upon as a terrorist when you come home. And if you're a Christian, looked upon as a terrorist. So get used to it. That's the way it is.
As that is, passing the mic to Keith, yeah. This is a process.
Let me just say this. You know, the thing that dismays me is why is the federal government taking sides in this issue? Why are they targeting their efforts to suppress attendance against the pro-Confederate forces? I guarantee you, Myron Lowry, the organizer of the anti-forest, anti-Confederate forces and rally, didn't receive a similar call to the one that James received from Homeland Security. I'm sure that the television stations that promoted that anti-forest, anti-Confederate rally on Friday before, last weekend's forest rally, pro-forest rally, didn't receive any phone calls from Homeland Security. In fact, the federal government totally approved of promoting that rally and apparently is opposed to the promotion of the other. Now, we're hearing all of this from the mavens of tolerance. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center even has the nerve to have a program called Teaching Tolerance. They are the most intolerant people there are. They are totally intolerant of any divergent viewpoint to their own. That is one of the hallmarks of modern leftists. And the sooner we learn that it's almost Orwellian. They say that they're for tolerance. It is the tolerance of Herbert Marcuse in his famous pamphlet, Repressive Tolerance. They tolerate everything from the left, and they will tolerate nothing from the right. And anything that smacks of conservatism is apparently in the crosshairs and gets acute attention from the federal government. If this isn't becoming Orwellian, if we're not living in an Orwellian state, then you explain it to me some other way. You know, in other words, American servicemen are more dangerous than Muslim immigrants with terrorist ties. You know, somehow the logic of all that escapes me unless that our own government has decided that we're the enemy and the enemies of America are their friends.
Well, thank you, Keith. And I'll tell you, folks, we have a lot to be concerned about. I mean, you know, we're retreating on all fronts, but that is not to say that it is inappropriate or out of bounds to celebrate causes for excitement and to celebrate situations of victory. And we've got more to talk about tonight. Coming up in the next segment, you know, one of the things, well, I've drawn three examples. Joe McCutchen, who is a regular guest on this show, a great American, in his 80s now, he is in Arkansas, and he's just been fighting this his whole life. Joe is in my top 10 of people I respect that I've ever known. His wife wrote an incredible article this week talking about the absurdity of this attack on Southern heritage and the Confederate flag, and much along the lines of the Chuck Baldwin article that we reposted, the Confederate flag should be raised, not lowered. You should send that to every school teacher. Some people are still willing to be open-minded. Now, the media, certainly not. These hate groups like the SPLC and ADL, certainly not. But if the truth matters to anyone, we ought to try. Well, anyway, Barbara McCutchen wrote an article, which we will post to our website next week, so stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org, which is just soaring in terms of its web traffic, an all-time high.
Sure, yeah.
Never before have we been so widely read and listened to. You know, 10.5 years into this, almost 11 now, coming up on October of this year, 11 years on the air. We're doing great things, folks, thanks to your support. I think this rally in Memphis last week proves that. But Barbara McCutcheon wrote about all of the ignorance about what the Confederate heroes were about and what the Confederate States of America government was all about, what the flag stood for, this ignorance being paraded sanctimoniously, glorified. It's ignorance that is being sanctimoniously glorified, she writes. And all of these people who are condemning and denouncing the Confederacy and its heroes, by their own admission, have no idea what it was about. The mayor of Memphis himself was quoted by the Commercial Appeal, which is the daily newspaper in the city. I don't care what the Confederate flag stands for. I despise it. He just said it. He doesn't care.
Hugh Freeze.
He doesn't know. He doesn't want to know. He despises it. He's blinded by his hatred. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, everybody, so ignorance being sanctimoniously glorified, and this ignorance is being showcased by people in positions of power and influence, like the Memphis mayor, who is behind this drive to exhume the corpses of Nathan Bedford Forrest and his wife, throw them to the winds, demolish the statue. He said he doesn't care what the Confederate flag really stands for. He despises it. So he's admitting he doesn't know what it stands for, but he's got this irrational and blind hatred for it, and that's what's going to make his mind up. Now, look, this was a comment he made on the record in print in the commercial appeal. Now, he's not the only one. On Monday, the governor of Tennessee sort of half-heartedly declared July 13th to be Nathan Bedford Forrest Day in this state. It's long been that way. Nathan Bedford Forrest was born on July the 13th, and so July 13th for years and years, decades now in Tennessee, has been a state holiday, Nathan Bedford Forrest Day. And anyway, after it was held this year, or pronounced by official proclamation by the governor, a Democratic state senator, I don't recall his name, so we'll just call him Senator Idiot. Senator Idiot said that he's going to file legislation to strike Nathan Bedford. There's six individuals that get their own state holiday in Tennessee. Robert E. Lee's one, Nathan Bedford Forrest is another, and then the other four we could do without. But he's going to write legislation to strike Nathan Bedford Forrest from that list because he said Nathan Bedford Forrest was perpetrated a massacre at Fort Pillow, a massacre that was perpetrated on blacks who had surrendered. That is certainly not factual at all. He also went on to say that Nathan Bedford Forrest burned down the houses of people, you know, that he, you know, his army, his units marched through, the towns that they marched through. Yeah, that happened in the war. It didn't happen by the side Nathan Bedford Forrest fought on. All right, so we have the mayor of Memphis and Senator Idiot there weighing in completely irrationally, completely at odds with the facts and the truth. And then we have the head coach of the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze, the head coach of their football team, Hugh Freeze, who, believe it or not, was one of my teachers in the 90s when I went to Briarcrest Christian School. I homeschooled the last couple of years of my high school education, but until the 10th grade, I went to Briarcrest. Hugh Freeze was one of my teachers. He's now the head coach at Ole Miss.
Did he teach history?
Thankfully, he didn't teach history. But he said, you know, he's going to have to – he was interviewed this week at SEC training camp, and he said, I need to go back and research what the Confederacy was all about, but we do need to change the Mississippi state flag. Of course, the Mississippi state flag flies the Confederate flag as part of its logo. So Hugh Freeze says we need to, you know, he needs to go back and research what the Confederacy was about, but in the meantime, we need to change the state flag. So this is what we're up against. You know, people in positions of influence and prestige operating with complete brazen disregard of the facts and complete contempt and utter contempt of the truth. Eddie, quickly, then we got to go to Keith.
Well, he admitted what he did. He just said he was stupid and he was totally ignorant of the war and the Confederate flag, but he was for it. He was for getting rid of it anyway because, James, the federal government is totally controlled. The Congress is totally controlled by these Zionist Jewish banks. You know, these Zionist Jewish Antichrist Christian hating Jews control, they run every central bank in the world. They control the Congress. The Congress is just a bunch of marionettes, the senators and the representatives. And they march to the tune that the Jews bankers play. You know, they dance to the tune. And they control not only the banks, they control all the media. They control any election. If you can't win an election without, you know, without money, like Keith Alexander said before, you know, money is the mother's milk of politics. These clowns are going to do exactly what they're told to do. And Hugh Freeze knows if he was to come out, just like Lou Holtz when he was in South Carolina, he did the same thing. They're going to go against their own people. And if you think you're going to vote these people out, you have another thought coming. And I'm going to close on this. Mention the city council. James talked about the city council earlier. 90% of the people voice their support for keeping Nathan Bedford Forrest here in his grave. But that doesn't make a crap. They're going to do what they do anyway because your vote means nothing. It's whoever controls the money, and the international Zionist Jew bankers control the whole world.
All right, and I would add this, that at Briarcrest, when I was in elementary school, we would sing. There was about five patriotic songs that we would sing, My Country, Tis of Thee, America things of that beautiful. Nature. America the Beautiful, the Star Spangled Banner. Dixie was one of them. We used to sing Dixie at Briarcrest in my elementary years. Certainly by my high school years, that was all done with. But you know, it just goes to show. Keith, specifically, I want you to talk about Hugh Freeze and the assertion that Nathan Bedford Forrest, the allegation that he massacred people at Fort Pillow. Wasn't he tried for that, Keith, and found what?
Well, he was found not guilty. He was court-martialed by the Union Army after the war to answer for the charges that were being made. It was basically a propaganda campaign sponsored by the Lincoln administration to try to ramp up anti-Southern feeling and bring the war to a close, to a quick close. That's what the whole Fort Pillow massacre scenario was about. The court-martial was held and was convened under the authority of none other than William Tecumseh Sherman.
And what did he say about Forrest during the war?
He said that that Devil Forrest needs to be captured and killed. If it takes 10,000 men, if we lose 10,000 men and bankrupt the federal treasury.
So that's how much he hated Forrest. He presided over his court-martial and found him not guilty of any wrongdoing at Fort Pillow. But now it appears as though Senator Idiot, A.C. Wharton, and Hugh Freeze know better than Forrest's biggest enemies at the time.
Well, see, the historical record makes no difference to these people. What does make a difference to them is they are all well-versed, have PhDs in all the tenets of political correctness. They observe them with a religious fervor. Believe me, their true religion is not Christianity anymore. It is political correctness and liberalism. And they know that if they want to keep their jobs, their cherished jobs, their little sinecures, either as football coach or as mayor of Memphis or as a state senator, that they're going to have to dance to the music played for them by their masters, and they are going to have to cleave with unflagging devotion to the tenets of political correctness. That's what they're doing. That's what is motivating them. They don't care what the public thinks. Public be damned. They don't care what is truth, what the historical record shows. All they want to know is that the big megaphones are all in control of the left. The left has, for example, the commercial appeal, we call it the communist appeal, conservatives here in Memphis, because it is so left-wing. Of course they're going to come out against this, despite the fact that they're losing readers and subscribers on a weekly basis. They are sponsored by wealthy people in positions of authority that are leftists. The same thing for the TV stations, the same thing for all the media outlets. So consequently, it's time for us, the people, we the people, to stand up and be counted. That's what we've done. Even when the government takes sides against us, our allegiance is to the truth. As God said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
It's been very special for me to be with the three of you tonight in the wake of what we did last Sunday, to have us all together here, which is rare. We normally split it up. But I want to say this very quickly, and I've got to say this. There is an hour remaining in tonight's live broadcast, but we're going to play a tape, not because we're leaving. We're going to stay in the studio and listen to this. But I felt led to play a tape during the third hour tonight, under taking into consideration the war waging against Forrest. I know we're not going to change the minds of the media. I know we're not going to change the minds of these elected officials and these craven cowards like Hugh Freeze. But for those who are open-minded, Gene Andrews was on our show during Confederate History Month in April. Gene Andrews was born and raised in Nashville when it was acceptable to be proud of your Confederate heritage. He served as a lieutenant in the 3rd Marine Division in Vietnam before becoming a high school history teacher. He set the record straight about Nathan Bedford Forrest's involvement at the Battle of Fort Pillow. He broke down the incredible and unforgettable speech that he delivered to our 10-year anniversary celebration last October. We had him on the air Saturday evening, April 4th of this year, and we're going to replay that hour coming up next, only because it is so timely. If we don't play it tonight, we're never going to have a better reason or occasion to revisit it. So we're playing it tonight because of the controversy, the media manufactured controversy surrounding Forrest and the flag, and they're trying to exhume Forrest's body. Part of it is predicated upon the fact that they believe that he committed some atrocity at Fort Pillow. We're going to set the record straight with historical facts and figures, and you're going to hear it again in the third hour tonight, immediately following this hour. So stay tuned for that. That's why we're replaying it. I don't like to play tapes, but I feel absolutely necessary tonight. And remember, Gene Andrews served in the Marines. Eddie Miller served in the Army. Winston Smith, Art Frith, Scoop Stanton all served in the Navy. Most of our people have military service. We are good people. I don't care about the psychological torture that they put upon us. We are good people, and we are all Americans, and we're standing up for what's right, and it doesn't matter what they say. Eddie, seconds, go.
Quick comment. I was talking to my economist friend today. If you want, and we're always talking about solutions, the only solution to revolving this thing is to take away the money, the King's money. Do away with the Jews' ownership of the central bank. We have to go back to using an honest money system, silver and gold. That's the only way we're ever going to recapture this country.
All right, folks, stay tuned for Gene Andrews coming up next.